Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we examine this portion of thy word, we ask you to make it real and rich in our lives. Deliver us now from anything that would hinder us from thinking thoughts after thyself. Speak to us in this hour, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 15th of Matthew, our Lord spake certain truths that were objectionable to the Pharisees. And they expressed their objections to the disciples of our Lord. And the disciples were apparently frightened by them. You know, there are certain people that scare other people. The scribes and the Pharisees were well known in Israel. They were the religious leaders, and they frightened the disciples. And they came to the Lord, as you read in the end of verse 12, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these things?" And our Lord answered. His reply is very important. Our Lord simply said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Our Lord never made an apology. He simply spoke more truth. Now, Matthew Henry tritely has something to say on this text. He says, "A number of good and affectionate but very weak hearers are always afraid that they will offend other hearers." And if we never offended, it would be proof positive that we never preached the gospel. If we never offend anybody, if everything we have to say in the church is just nice and sugar-coated, we never offend anybody, be assured of one thing, you've never preached the gospel. For if we please men, it is certainly true that we didn't please God. For Paul said, "If I please God, I cannot be the servant of men. But if I'm the servant of men, then I cannot please God." You have that in the first chapter of the Galatians. So this should be the aim in our ministry, not to offend. That's an easy thing to do. Our aim should not be to offend. But our aim should be that through the preaching of the Word of God, we would test men and test their hearts so that their hearts will offend them and that they'll be exposed to their own inspection. This is what the gospel must do. It must so expose men to their own hearts and their own hearts to themselves that it causes them to inspect their lives. So that being offended, they will discover what they really are like in the sight of God. For after all, what we are in the sight of other people really doesn't matter, does it? But what we are in the sight of God is most important. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said, "He who knoweth not how to pluck up the plants which God hasn't planted scarcely understands how he could be a worker in the vineyard of God," and how true that is. Now, the minister, the man who proclaims the gospel, he has a tremendous job. He has to kill all false hopes. He has to weed out all foolish trusts. He has to blight all wrong confidences, and at the same time that he does that, he has to comfort and encourage every weak plant. He has to encourage the humblest of God's people, those who are sincere followers of Christ. And the Word of God is the only thing that can do it. The Word of God is the only thing that can both cut you and cure you. It's the only thing that can bruise you and at the same time bless you. And the preacher is called upon to be a minister of God. And in so doing, there are those who are going to be offended. And the scripture tells us, to our own master we stand or fall, Romans chapter 14. Now our text here, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. This text applies to every doctrine. This text applies to every false system of religion. Whatever God hasn't planted is going to be rooted up. That's simply what it says. You see, now it's of little consequence what men are if they're not saved. The scribes and the Pharisees, our Lord describes them in the 14th verse. They were blind leaders of the blind. Now, they had such religious credentials that they scared the disciples of the Lord, but it didn't mean a thing to the Lord. You see, it's of little consequence in the final analysis what men are or even what they think they are. If a man is never brought to the Lord as his own personal Savior, it's not an important item what kind of religion they have if it isn't the true one. And by the way, there is only one true religion. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you've often heard me say, if you've been here a few times, that Christianity is not the best religion. Christianity is not the best religion. You see, when you use that word best, it goes with other words, good and better. You can't use the word best in relation to Christianity. There's another word you have to use. It is the word only. Christianity isn't the best. It is the only one. There isn't any other way. Our Lord Jesus didn't say, I'm the best of many ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in our text this morning he says, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Therefore, determine in your heart, my friend, if God hasn't planted me, then I'm going to be rooted up. And consider this with all your heart. Now, a preacher may plant it, you see, and he may plant it with well-intended intentions. He may do it thus. And martyrs may water it with their blood. Confessors after confessor may defend it with learning and courage. Time may endear it. Kings may guard it. But I'll tell you, if it hasn't been planted by God, it may have all those things, and it will be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now we want to look at three things as we consider this text. Number one, am I a plant that God has planted? When I come to a text like this, there's only one person that I really can deal with. It's me. And I must ask this as an individual. Am I a plant that my heavenly Father has planted? The second thing we want to deal with is, what does it mean to be rooted up? And then the third thing we want to deal with is, how can I know that I have been planted by God? These are three important thoughts that we want to dwell on this morning, and we want to develop them, and we want to consider them. God put a hymn book in the middle of the Bible. The first psalm is the first of the great hymns. And the first psalm is a psalm of two ways. And it's quite interesting what it says. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There are three negatives regarding the blessed man. But then he goes on to the positive. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted. The blessed man is like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in his season. And after speaking of the blessed man, he turns and he speaks of the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand. They'll be plucked up in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the unjust shall perish. So in the first psalm, in the great hymn book in Scripture, we are introduced to what our Lord meant and what he said here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now when you consider this, to be planted means that with design, it is placed in the soil and then taken care of. And when God plants a plant, he does it with purpose, and he does it with design. Believers here are comparable to those which come under the gardener's care. And the gardener here, as in John 15, is none other than the Father. He says, in John 15, the Lord Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the farmer. Here he says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So we can speak of ourselves, if we're saved this morning, as those who are under the care of the gardener. We have been planted in the soil. We are tended by his skill. And we are looked upon in interest as his own plants. Those whom he plants, he cares for. Now the ungodly of Psalm 1, and those who are going to be plucked up here, according to Matthew 15 and verse 13, oh yes, they're wild plants, and many wild plants bear fruit also, don't they? Oh, yes, they do. But the problem with wild plants, and our Lord, you see, in the fifth chapter of Isaiah, he speaks of Israel as the vine of the Lord. And he says, when I came for fruit in the vineyard, instead of getting grapes, I got wild grapes. And what an indictment. And in the fifth of Isaiah, the prophet pronounces woes upon the nation of Israel. Because while they were planted of God in the beginning, they in each generation must realize the blessedness of being planted by God. I cannot rest on the laurels of my grandmother or the laurels of my father. I stand alone before God. Have I been planted by God? So you see, wild plants, they even bear fruit. But their fruit is bitter, and that's what our Lord found in Isaiah chapter 5. Their fruit is poisonous. Their fruit is acrid, and it is deadly to the taste of those who pass by. And remember when our Lord instructed his own in the parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13, he had something to say about the tares. The tares grow among the wheat, and they grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, he will send forth his angels, and he will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend, and all that do evil, and they will be burned in a furnace of fire. All that this text gets to our souls, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. It doesn't matter how beautiful it looks on the outside. It doesn't matter how expensive it was to buy. It will be rooted up. You see, there are many plants that have been planted, but not by God. And we need to consider this. You see, there are many plants who are planted by the preacher. Preachers are great at planting, you know. But if you're just planted by the preacher and not by God, I'll tell you something, you're going to be rooted up. That's what our text says. The text here says that. It reminds me of the drunk, you know, who came up to D.L. Moody one day. He was looking for a handout, of course. And he said to me, after asking for it, he said, "Now, Mr. Moody, I'm one of your converts." He said, "You sure look like it. You're certainly not the Lord's." You see, a preacher's converts are always an embarrassment to him. If you're only converted to the preacher, you're going to embarrass the preacher. You see, if the minister is your captain, and God takes the minister away, you're going to be without a foundation. And God removes ministers. See, the time came in the life of Israel that God had to say, as you read in the book of Joshua chapter 1, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, cross over this Jordan." See, God takes away ministers. And if the minister is your captain, if the minister is the basis for what you do, I tell you, you don't have anything. God must be the one. When Moses suffered affliction and determined to suffer affliction with the people of God, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, he endured seeing him who is invisible. You see, there are a lot of plants that have been planted by the preacher. How about you? "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." If your conversion is only human, persuaded even by some holy person, but if you have never been operated upon by the Holy Spirit of God, you will be eventually, like Peter describes in 2 Peter chapter 2, like a dog who returns to his vomit, or to a pig that has been washed who returns to the mire. That's what he says in 2 Peter chapter 2. You see, there's no difference outwardly between a washed pig and a washed sheep. There's no difference at all. They're both clean on the outside. The difference is on the inside, in the heart. Let me give you an illustration. A couple of years ago, there's a family that needed assistance, and they appealed to us here, and Brother Sutton and I went to visit in the home, and just to find out what the condition was before we assisted in giving some money to them. And when we were there, we found a terrible condition. I'm not going to describe it, but the mother, who really needed help, was living in sin. And the first thing she told me was she was saved. "Oh, I'm saved." I said, "Well, how do you know?" "Oh, I went forward in the church." "Oh," I said, I dealt with this a little bit, but I got around to this question and to this reality. What kind of a heart do you have? Do you have the heart of a sheep, or do you have the heart of a pig? For she was living in sin. Don't tell me you're saved if you're living like a pig. You see, if a plant can be planted by the preacher, and we can do it very easily with the invitation system. It lends itself to it. And I challenge you today to examine your heart in the light of this. Have you just been persuaded to say yes to a few things, but the heart never changed? Now, I want to tell you a little something about that lady. We did help her. We didn't tell her we would that night. But we sent Mrs. Braxton over. We gave her the authority, and she went around with her, and she didn't give her the money. She went and paid some of her bills with her. And then she took her to the grocery store and bought her food for her and for the children. Beloved, we need to love everybody. The Bible says, "Do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." But friends, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Our Lord didn't get excited when the Pharisees were offended because of what he said. You see, a lie told by a million people, friends, doesn't make a truth. And our Lord is truth personified. He said, this is the truth. And friends, it is. And if you're here this morning, deep down in your heart, you know that our Lord here, if he ever told the truth, it was right here. Every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. But not only are plants planted by preachers, but plants are often planted by parents. Christian parents can plant plants, you know. I'm thinking of my friend David Kwiatkowski. He rode his bicycle from the West Coast to the East Coast. In fact, he rode out over the Rocky Mountain twice, pedaling his bicycle both ways. And I like this young fellow. And you see, as a boy, he was raised in a Christian home. And his mother, of course, she decisioned him. Now, do you believe this? Yes, I believe that. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe that. Well, then you're saved. And he came up being told he was saved, but never any change in the heart. And when he got to college, and the peer pressure of college got to him, and then there came the drugs, the marijuana, the drinking, and everything else. He said, I knew I wasn't saved. And he said, when I really trusted the Lord and got down to business with God, my mother told me, oh, you were saved as a boy. You see, he's the one who gave me this little rhyme, Jesus loves me, this I know, for my mommy tells me so. We can be planted by mother and dad, but not planted by God. Every plant which my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. But then there are those who are self-planted. We can plant ourselves, you know. We can be full of good deeds. We can be full of our own efforts, our own strivings, our own praying. And we might have experienced things that we borrowed from books. Oh, I learned that from a book. And there are a lot of things you can learn from a book and plant yourself. But my friend, have you been planted by God? Every plant that my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You see, even wild plants bear fruit. But the disciples were told, don't root up the tares. If you try, you're going to bring up the wheat also. Now let us consider the uprooting. Our Lord says, every plant that my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Alas for some, the uprooting comes even in this life. Did you get that? The uprooting comes for some already in this life. There are those who make a profession, but then when the winds of adversity blow, and especially the winds of persecution, oh, then you'll see them turn back to the world. For many who made professions, the call of the world is responded to a lot sooner than the call of God. They're uprooted already in this life. But alas for the deceived. There is possible to go through life deceived, thinking everything is all right when everything is all wrong. If you would have asked the Pharisee if he was saved in the first century, who, me? Dare you ask me? Do you know anybody that measures up to me? I'm a Pharisee. You see, deceived, going through life thinking all is right when all is wrong. You see, friends, 100 years from today, there's only one thing that's going to matter. Your relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to matter 100 years from today. And if you have no relationship with him, if you're rooted up at the time of death, it's too late to do anything about it. A man met a friend of mine years ago at a railway station in Great Britain. And he said to him, Alex, I came to understand something. You're not going to know whether you're the Lord's until that day when he separates the sheep from the goats. And Alex said, you know, that presents a problem. He said, what is it? He said, suppose the Lord says to you, and that day you're a goat. What are you going to do about it? Ever think of it? Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Today's the day to determine. I want to be one of God's sheep. I want to come to Christ just as I am. Not then. No. And in Scripture it is always today. Today if you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But there's a third thing that we want to consider this morning. It is this. How can one tell if you're truly planted by God? I want to give assurance to everyone who is truly planted by God. How can you tell if you're truly his? If I am a plant of the Lord's planting, then there was a time when I was taken out from the place where I once grew. If I have been planted by God, then there was a time that he planted me. In other words, there's a time of conversion. There's a time when he takes me out of the soil of the world that I was in, and he does something. Let me ask you a question. Can you remember when he dug you up until the roots of your heart began to bleed? Do you remember it? We call that conviction of sin. When God plows us up and makes us aware that we're sinners in his holy sight. Can you remember when he loosened that soil of the earth around your heart that you loved so dearly? And it hurt. And you cried out in despair, oh Lord, you're taking everything I really love away from me. Do you remember it? Remember in Colossians 1:13 it says that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what it means to be planted by God. Oh, do you remember that time? Here we can tell that we're the Lord's, that I've been planted by God. I remember when he took me and he put me under conviction of sin and he plowed up my soul. It hurt, but he healed me. You see, he healed me with a blessed gospel. He sure did. There's a second way, and it is this. If I have been planted by God, then I pant to be made like him, conformed to the image of his dear Son. As the heart, we read in the 42nd Psalm, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If sin is a pleasure to you, you better be careful. What do you think of when you see a fish in a tree? Boy, that follows out of his element, don't you? And I tell you, when I see a Christian living in sin, I think of two things. Number one, that fellow is way out of his element, or he has never been planted by God. Is that clear? If I have been planted by God, then I pant to be conformed to him. God has called us to holiness. Be ye holy, God says, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The third way in which we can tell if we've been planted by God, then you have learned that you are utterly helpless and utterly hopeless and that your heart is empty apart from Christ. For if you have been planted by God, then you know that he alone is your righteousness. You have none of yourself. You know that the Holy Spirit of God alone is your strength. You have nothing of your own that you can ever boast of. For what do you have, the Scripture says, that you have not received? And therefore, if you've been planted by God, all of God's plants are in the same soil. They're all in the same soil, the body of Christ. There are no two bodies of Christ, there is only one. The church of Jesus Christ, which is his body. And they're all in the same soil. Furthermore, they all feed from the same source. The Word of God is the food that God has given for all the plants of God. It is the only food there is. There isn't any other. Furthermore, they are all on the same rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. All have been planted by God. They put their trust in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. This is what our Lord said to his disciples when they were scared because the Pharisees were offended. But our Lord never changed his word. In conclusion, I'd like to just say two things. Number one, Jonathan Edwards, who led the great revival in New England in the middle 1700s, he led the revival in New England. This is what he had to say. In the great revival, there were sinners of all sorts converted, except unconverted professors. And this he said, these unconverted professors are in the most dangerous state possible for a man to be in. For an unconverted professor, the scribes and Pharisees were, they thought everything was right when everything was wrong. They thought if anybody could be a guide to the blind, it was them. Our Lord says they're blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. And you see Jonathan Edwards in those early days in America in the Great Revival. The same problem. Unconverted professors. May I ask you, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. The second thing, my daughter-in-law was at my home the other day, and we were going over some work that she had to do in relation to the church, secretarial work. And she said, I happened to be reading Oswald Chambers. Oh, I said, I have about 10 of his books up there. She only has one. And the one she has, I don't have. But the 10 I have, she doesn't have. But anyway, she made a statement. She said, I was reading Oswald Chambers. And he has a devotional book, and this is the one she has, My Utmost for His Highest. I hope some of you have it, and if you read it, it's a great book. It may be at our house somewhere. I like Oswald Chambers, but I have never read his devotional work. I've read through many others, but I've never read his. But it's a good work, I can tell you, on the basis of 10 other books that I have read. But this is what she said, and this is what I liked. Are you ready? Every tree must do its own growing, no matter how tall its parents are. I like that. And when she said that, hey, I said, that fits my sermon for Sunday. Let me write that down. And I wrote it down. Now, I want you to think it over. How tall are your parents spiritually? How dwarfed are you? Isn't it a shame if we're walking on the coattails of somebody else? Have I been planted by God? Is He evidence in my life? Every tree must do its own growing, regardless of how tall its parents are. Let me ask you, where do you stand? Have you been planted by God? Oh, this is most important. To be planted of God means that you've been born of God. To be planted by God means that there was a time in your life when you trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, and you know you're saved. It's a reality. Don't deceive yourself in this area. For our Lord is true. Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. It's just as sure as you are here this morning. Now let's pray together before we sing. Our Father, we thank you for the planting of the Lord. We realize that to be planted by thee means that you took us, you planted us, you care for us, you watch over us, you water us, and you continually bless us as the plants of the Lord. Deliver us, O God, from ever deceiving ourselves in this great matter. Cause thy name to be glorified in thy people. For those here this morning who have not been planted by thee, oh, we ask you that they may have no rest nor peace, but that they'll do something about it and deal with their own soul in thy holy presence with the word of God. For Jesus' sake, amen. 584 in your hymn books. We're going to sing one stanza of this great hymn. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? 584, and we're going to sing the middle stanza. I wonder if you can really sing this hymn from your heart, this middle stanza. Notice what it says. 584, stanza number 3. Jesus, thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with thine own lifeblood for thy diadem. With thy blessing filling, each who comes to thee, thou hast made us willing. Thou hast made us free. By thy love, by thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. To be able to sing that means you've been planted by God and you know it. Have you been? Oh, if not, deal with it this morning, will you? Let's stand together and sing the third stanza only.